Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samech Bey. So we got to the very top of Samech Bey. The Gemara had been discussing the question and hadn't yet answered it, whether or not you're allowed to take a commit into a Beis HaKiseh or not. In that conversation, the Gemara had said that really there's no concern if a person carries a kmiya on Shabbos, because that would be considered the normal way of wearing it. It's considered tachshit, even when you're holding it. That was the last line of Samech Aleph Mabez. So the Gemara says, really, you could carry a kmiya in your hand on Shabbos and Rishus HaRabim? V'hatani, doesn't the Braisa teach us that Rabbi Oshaya Omer, u'bilvad shelo yochizenu biyado, v'yavirenu arba amos Rishus HaRabim? He clearly says, the Braisa clearly states, that one may not carry it in Rishus HaRabim. Now, there's a very interesting tosis here. I'm not going to read inside the back and forth, but if you just look at the last line of, or rather, the last part of tosos, where it says five lines up, v'afilu mandamar. That first tosos, v'afilu mandamar, he writes, v'afilu mandamar kol davar she'asu chachamim mishimaras ayin. Even though there's an opinion that says there's a concern in Maras Ayin that people might see you, it's asr afilu b'chadri chadarm. Even if you're in the innermost rooms and no one's going to see you, asr, it's asr. In this particular instance, there is no concern of Maras Ayin. Why? Dafilo omid b'shuk v'nosin b'kumso ain kai Maras Ayin. There is no Maras Ayin. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yashar just points out, explains Pshat and Tosas here, that even though there's an issue of Maras Ayin v'chadri chadarim, that when it's a situation where it's impossible for someone to ever see, like this case where the kmiya is hidden, he's tucked away somewhere inside his clothing, where it's impossible for him to see, then in that case, says the Tosos, that there is no violation of Maras Ayin. So even though we have all over Shas, Afil B'chadri Chadarim at Aser, that's only if there's some remote possibility that a person might be able to see you. But when it's mamish impossible, like in this case, then Maras Ayin wouldn't even be relevant. So the Gemara says, back to figuring out the situation of the wearing a kmiya on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, three lines down, Elahocha, but my askinan, what's the case here? Bimechupa, or. It's a situation that's covered in or, where the tefillin's covered in leather, and the harei tefillin, the mechupa, or, when it's covered in leather, it's covered in some type of patch. Tani, the Braisa says, Hanichnas, lebeis akisei, cholitz tefillin barachok arba amos. The person who needs to go to the bathroom should take off a tefillin 4 amos away from the beis akisei first. Vinichnas, and there he should go in, and then he goes in. So how come over here we say you can bring, so the Gemara suggests, when are you allowed to bring the kmiya inside? You bring it when you cover it of mechupa b'ora. But by tefillin we have, it's not the case. You can have the tefillin wrapped just like that, because tefillin itself is mechupa b'ora. The cloth is inside the tefillin. It's covered. The outside of the bias is made of ore, and yet we say you can't bring it into the beis hakiseh. It must be left outside. So why by the kmiya, mechupa b'ora would be allowed in the beis hakiseh, but a tefillin that's mechupa b'ora may not be brought into the kiseh? And the Gemara says, because hasa mishum shin, the tefillin, the bias, the tefillin sharosh, the bias of the tefillin sharosh has a shin on the outside. Damar abaya, bias has shin shel tefillin is halacha lemoshe misinai, and therefore, since the shin, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says ha'hasa mishum shin, they this she'asuya me'or hachiton atmo, they are able to construct the letter shin on the left side or the right side of the bias of the tefillin sharosh. Komate bo gimel kamatan, you have three different grooves of gain shin mishakai, the name Shakai Vashem, Vadalad Vayud Asun Bekesh, it's made of the knot, the dalad of the Sharosh, the back of the head, and the yud of the tilin shayad. Shakosha ritsu achas latafan achat lemizra kimin dalad, you make a shape of a dalad. Uritu ktanim o tulia ba, the ain ba ela kfifa kimin yud, there's a little yud on the tilin shayad. Ukofa be od haor lach, vi kufa the omen. It remains that way in forever. So we see that since the letter Shin Dal Yud, Hashem of Hashem, is on the outside, that's why you cannot bring the tefillin. It's not because of the cloth that's on the inside of the bias, but it's rather because of the shapes of the letters on the outside of the bias. And back inside the Gemara now, again, Abaye Adamar Abaye Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misinai, that it has to have a shin on the Sharosh. V'amar Abaye Dal Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misinai, the Dal also, that's the back of the Sharosh on the, that we wear on the head on the straps. V'amar Abaye Abaye says Yud Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misinai. So the Shin and Dal Yud are all Halacha Le Moshe Misinai. Now, Tosas here argues, Tosas argues all over Shas with Rashi, he thinks only the shin is halacha moshe misinai. He is not goreis that the dalad is yud. Look at that Tosas shin shatfilm. Velo garsin and dal v'yud shatfilm. And he brings a Gemara from Bamem Alikin that the dalad and yud is not halacha moshe misinai. But the fact that the shin is a symbol, it's a remez to Shankai, that's enough of a reason why you shouldn't bring tefillin inside the beis hakiseh. Now there's an interesting sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says that the shin is halacha moshe misinai, and the dalad is halacha moshe misinai, but he doesn't mention the yud. So that's the discussion how, and the Or Samech explains where he gets such a shita from, but he says the shin and dalad, but not the yud. So the Brisker Rav asks a question. The Rambam writes in the Halacha that when it makes coming to make the tefillin, that the tefillin should be made by Yisrael, by Yid, because the reason is because since the bias, the klaf certainly by the Yisrael, but even the bias must be made by a Yid, because the shin on the outside of the bias is part of Shem Hashem, it's part of a ksiva, and therefore the ksiva can only be written by Yisrael, not a goy. But he doesn't mention this with respect to the Dalad. Even though the Rambam does say the Dalad is Halacha Mishmei Sinai, he doesn't require the Dalad be tied by the Goy. But only the Shin made by Yid, but the Kshira can be made by the Dalad can be made by the Goy. What's the difference? If the Shin and Dalad are both Halacha Mishmei Sinai, and they're part of the name of Shin, Dalad, and Yud, so why is the Shin allowed to be made, rather only be made by a Yid, but the Dalad does not have to be made by a Yid? And the Brisker Rav explains because that the shin on the outside of the bias is a din of a ksiva. The dalad doesn't have a din of a ksiva, has a din of a kshira, of time. So only by ksiva is there a requirement that the Yisrael has to do it. Uchsaptim also has a din that only the ksiva has to be done, but the dalad is only kshira, that there's no inin. The only inin is that it has to be shaped like a dalad, but not that it has to be actually written as a dalad. Now this is an interesting discussion. That when it comes, the Or Samech points out, Legabe Shabbos, if a person ties a dalad, it's not a violation of ksiva, it's a violation of kshira. So that's the same point here as well. That if a person were to make the shin on the outside of the on the outside of the bias of the sharosh, that would be a violation of ksiva on Shabbos. If you tie a knot in the shape of a dalad, that's not ksiva, that's kshira. So the only time you require Yisrael is only when a ksiva is being performed, but not when a kshira is being performed. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, below, where are we, a few lines down? Below, hold on a second. Here we go. The Gemara now says, below, you can't wear, the Mishnah had said the other day, below b'shiryon, below b'kasta, below b'gafayim, these things you can't wear in Shabbos. So what are these different items? Shiryon is a zrada. It's a type of a coat. Kasta, amrav, sanvarta. It's some type of leather helmet. And b'gafayim, amrav, puzmiki, which are leggings made of iron. So different types of equipment or clothing people would wear. Just look at Rashi's sanvartas, kova or tachas kova hamateches. It's a leather helmet, a leather hat that's worn below a metal hat. And pazmiki is a anpalios shel barzel, pants made of barzel, but mechama, made for war. So the mission, new mission begins down here in Tamach Beis, that lo seitei isha b'machad and nekuva, woman should not go out wearing a needle with a hole, v'lo b'tabash she'isha le'achosim, not even a ring that has a signet on it, v'lo b'kulyar, which is some type of, Gemara is going to explain what it means, and v'lo b'kovelas, that too we'll see, that's some type of spices people would wear, v'lo b'tzlocha shel palyatom, which is a basket or a jug of oil, v'im yatz, if she goes out, chayeves achata shishchay, for all these things carrying it. That's all Divrei Rabbi Meir. But Chachamim Potim, Chachamim said, your Potter, the Kovelas, Ubisloch, is a Shalpaldion, these two, he agrees, but the other cases you're high, but when it comes to this Kovelas, which is a jar of spices, or Tzloch, Shalpaldion, which is a jug of oil, these cases, the Chachamim think it's Potter. The reason why, Rashi explains, the reason why Yechayv Chatas in those instances, because Kesavar, Lav, Tachshin, you know, these things are not considered a Tachshit, and therefore subject to a Chiv Chatas. So the Gemara then says, Amar Ula, Ula says, V'chilufem b'ish, it's all the opposite with respect to a man. That we had said in the Mishnah that a woman cannot wear tabash she'ishal of chosem, she is chayv chatas if she wears that, but the opposite is true by a man. If he wears it, he wouldn't be chayv chatas. And the Gemara explains, Alma, Kesavar Ula, kol mide de chazal ish, lo chazal isha. That which is fit for man is not fit for woman, and the opposite is true as well. The mide de chazal isha, lo chazal isha. That which is fit for woman is not fit for a man. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, Amar Ula, it's the opposite with a man. A tabasco, he's referring to the ring. The tabas sheishlat chosem im yatsa pater. If a man goes out with a tabas of a chosem, although a woman is chayv chatas, a man's pater. Then ain't all of chosem. But if there is no chosem, while a woman can go out with a ring that doesn't have a chosem, the ish, a man who wears a tabas without a chosem, is chayv chatas. So that's the opposite. So now it becomes an interesting discussion in the Rishonim that back then in the times of the Gemara that men would only wear rings with a chosim, a signet. But without a signet they wouldn't wear, and if they were to wear one it would be chayv chatas. Ramban and the Ran say, well, bizman hazeh, things are different. Very common that men wear rings nowadays, even without a chosim. Would that change anything? So the Ramban thinks at first glance it should change things. And maybe then it would be considered a tachshit, like a woman. And a man who wears such a ring, just a wedding ring, let's say, for example, it has a chosem on it, he wouldn't be chayv achatas. And also, the Ramban says it wouldn't be a violation of Begadisha, because Begadisha depends on all it all depends on the time and the place. And nowadays, since we live in a place, as the Ramban, where men wear rings, then it would not be a violation of Begadisha. But then the Ramban pulls back and says it's not appropriate for a man to be wearing a ring. He doesn't think it's correct, and it would still be a violation of Begad Isha. But the Ran, who says no, he thinks it would not be considered Begad Isha, it's entirely appropriate, and therefore he says a man can wear a ring during the week, and he can even wear it on Shabbos. Now, the Beis Yosef brings this Lalacha, and he says, the Ran makes the most sense. This is my daf in practice today, the old daf. And he says that even though he thinks Ran is correct, in the end of the day, even a tachshit, even though he could acknowledge that men could wear rings, and it's a tachshit, we said by a woman, if a tachshit were to be worn, some tachshitim are of concern because they might take it off and show it to their friends. So by the man as well, the Beis Yosef thinks it would be usur. But it's brought down in the post again, look into, could you listen later on to the al-daf in practice. But nowadays, that if it's something that's really unique to men and not to women, it's not so much of a concern that men would take off the tachshit and show it to someone else. And therefore, there's certainly room to rely on those who wear rings to wear them outside, even in an instance where there is no Eruv. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara asks as follows. We're up to now a few lines after the Mishnah. It says, Masa Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks the question. Haroim yotin besakin roe, a shepherd could go out wearing some type of cloth to protect him from the rain. And the velo haroim mivan amru, not only when it comes to shepherds, but ela kol adam, everyone's allowed to wear these besakin, these raincoats of some sort. And ela shadarchan shaharoim lost his besakin, but it was normal for the roim to wear it. But not only roim, it's anyone would really be allowed. So we see, look at Rashi. Rashi explains, so what's the question? Even though other people are not used to wearing these sakin outside, only roim are, migo de lagavi hai takshu, lagavi hai nami takshu. So since with respect to the roim they wear the sakin, so it's a beggar for them, so it's a beggar for anyone else. So here as well. So when it comes to a man and not wearing a ring, and women wearing their ring, so even though for a man a chosem tabas shel a chosem is not considered wearing, but for women it is. So once a woman could wear tabas she'en lav chosem, shouldn't that extend to men also? That they should also be able to wear a tabas she'en b'chosem, just like a roim wear sakin, but we extend it from roim to kol adam. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar of Yosef. Yosef explains that Kasavar Ula Nashim Am Bifnei Atzman, that men and women are considered different nations, different people, different categories and species, and therefore we can't extend. When it comes to men, so different men have different professions, and that's all considered one unit. That's all one species. But men and women are completely different species, if you will, and therefore he did not think one could extend it over from the men to the women. So, and then again, this just goes back to Begad Isha, that we have to have separate ways of dressing and separate ways of things that we wear. And one of the interesting things that come up, it's brought down in the Gemara, that men cannot look in mirrors. Why can't they look in mirrors? Because that's what women do. That's an extension of Begad Isha. Even though you're not wearing it, it's something that you're doing. There's certain things that men do and certain things that women do. They're completely different sets of groups. Now, in terms of looking at mirrors, Rav Yasha points out, and many other posts can point out as well, it's brought down based on the Ramah, that nowadays, since men do look in mirrors, that we live in a society where men look in mirrors, that would not be a violation of Begad Isha. Oh, again, this is one of the things that depend on when you live and also where you live. If you were to live in a place where men still don't look in mirrors, then that Isser would still be in place. So the Gemara now says, Eisi ve'abai. Abai asks the question, Hamotzi tefillin, person finds tefillin, machnisin zug, he should bring in one pair at a time, and echad ha'ish ve'echad isha, both men and women could wear it, and in order to bring it to a safe place, v'yamis nashim am b'fnei asmenhen, if you really say that women are considered a separate group, a separate people, so v'ham mitzis asei shezman gramahu. And we know women are pater from tefillin, because tefillin is not it's a zman grama. You don't wear it at nighttime, you don't wear it on Shabbos. The chal mitzvah asay shezman grama, nashim paturos. And any mitzvah asay that women do, that they're pater from if it's zman grama. So what's going on here? So what's the question? So we see from here that, as Rashi points out here, that v'echad ha'isha, v'yafo gabdulab tachshit isha, even though for women it's not tachshit, because women are pater from the mitzvah. Migo dahavi tachshit ish, shari afl isha. From the fact that men could wear tefillin, for men, it's a tachshit, so we can extend it to women being a tachshit either. Now, even though in the world of women, they're pater, and it's not a tachshit, it's not shaykh to have them wear tefillin, we still have them as an extension of men. So Gemara says, no, Halsam, that price is going according to Kosava Rabbi Meir, Laila Zman Tfilinhu, Vishabbos Zman Tfilinhu. There are opinions out there that you can wear tefillin at nighttime and you can wear tefillin on Shabbos, which means that tefillin is not Isman Grama. Behavale Mitzvah Ase Shelo Azman Grama, which is not bound by time, in which case, Bechol Mitzvah Ase Shelo Azman Grama, Nashim Chayavos. Women are actually chayiv to wear tefillin in such instances if it's not Isman Grama. Women are chayiv in Mitzvah Ase Shelo Azman Grama. So, now this again becomes very interesting. This is certainly not how we paskin, but that's the amount Dhamma the Brisa is going along with. So then the Gemara says, Vahaho Tzah Kalachar Yad. So now we're going back. The Mishnah had said that women, if they were to carry, wear a tabash sheyesh bo chosim, a ring with a signet, so then there would be a chayv chatas. The Gemara says, how could it be a chayv chatas? V'ha hotza klachar yadhu. Isn't this a strange way of carrying? And Rashi just points out here, v'ha hotza klachar yadhu, amasisim kar, this is going back in the Mishnah like we just said, v'hotzas tabas shemotzia derech malbush be'etzba, and the way you wear a ring, as we know, is on the finger, v'zeh she'enu tachshela, but for her, wearing such a ring with a chosim is not a tachshe, it's not not jewelry for her. So, amai chayev es chatas, harei lo hotzia kederech kol motzin. She's not carrying the normal way. She kol motzi davar she'enu tachshela motzin also biyadayim. Lo derech malbush. When you're carrying something that's not a tachshe, if I'm, you know, I don't wear earrings, so I'm taking earrings out, the way I carry earrings is in my hand. If I put the earring around my finger, let's say, that's not the normal way. That's considered shinoi. And when you do a violation in Isser, a derech shinoi, a klachar yad, you're not chayv achatas here. So here, but her, by wearing a ring that's not shayach to, a ring that's not something that women wear, that would be considered klachar yad, and one would be pater for violating hotzah klachar yad. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Beisha Gizbarin Askin. We're talking about a woman who is a Gizbar. She's overseeing different whatever jobs she's overseeing. And therefore, it is a shayach for such a woman to wear a tabas with a chosem, and it's considered normal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Tratzta Isha, Isha Ma'ik Lememar. So great, she explained. So a woman, it's shayach, even though normal women don't wear tabas sheish b'chosim. There are certainly exceptions where women do wear tabas sheish b'chosim. For example, this gizbarim. So that's why she's chayv achatas in this case, because it is considered normally wearing it. And since on Shabbos, it's not she shouldn't be wearing this. It's not really a takshit, but normal. So then it's derech hotza. But isha, what are you going to explain by an isha? That an isha who wears a tabas sheish b'chosim, just a regular ring, men don't wear that. So if he were to wear it, that's not normal, that's considered klach hayad. So why do we say an ish that wears a tabas, she'en alav chosim, why are we saying that he's chayiv? For him, it's a shinoi, it's a klach hayad. So the Gemara said, Ella amar rava, pamim she'adam nosin l'ishto tabas, she'ish la chosim. Sometimes a man will give his wife a ring with a chosim, l'alicha l'kupsa, to take it, put it in the, you know, jewelry box of some sort, and she puts it into her hand until she gets to the jewelry box. Sometimes the woman gives a ring without a chosim to her husband to go bring it to the jeweler to fix, and puts it in his hand until he gets there. So you see that's even, no, they'll wear it even. They don't want to lose it. So you carry it in your hand, you might get bumped along the street. So you put it around your finger, and this way it's more safe when it's around your finger. So you see it's possible that both from a man and a woman's perspective, it is shaykh for them to wear someone else's ring, the opposite gender's ring, in order to protect it. And since it's derech chotzah b'kach, one would be chayv chatas for doing so on Shabbos. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further, v'lo b'kulyar, lo b'kovelis. These are things also that a woman cannot wear outside. What are these things? So my kulyar, they ask the Gemara, a kulyar is amarava, it is michbanta. So michbanta, so it's a some type of thing that closes the open end of the shirt. Again, I don't know exactly what this is, but it's something that women wear, which would be violation of carrying on Shabbos. They explain here, it's some type of ornament, it's a round shape, and it's considered, again, considered extra, something extra that doesn't need to be worn. And what's a kovelis? Amarav chumarta dipulin. It's a packet of pilin, some type of spice, and v'chein amaravasi chumarta dipulin. That's what it is. So the Gemara then says, and the reason why people wear this, women wear this, or anyone wears it, Rashi explains here. If you look at Rashi 5 lines up from the bottom here, chomeres dipulin, kesha shakashibo sam sheshmo pilin. It's a little tied, a little pouch together. Recha Ariv, it's a sweet smell. Ubalaz balsam or balsamic or something, I don't know. Balsam. The Isha Sharecha Ra, woman who has bad breath or just she smells bad body odor. Toanessa Allah, she carries it. It's a way to some type of deodorant or perfume that she wears all the time. So that too she cannot wear on Shabbos. The Gemara quotes a brisa, Tani Rabbanim, lo seitei bekovelas, she can't wear this package of spices. V'miyasa, if she goes out, chai v'chatas, divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, lo seitei, she shouldn't go out, l'chachi, v'miyatsa, p'tur, but if she does go out, she's pater. And yet, Rabbi Eliezer omer, yotze isha bekovelas l'chachi, he thinks l'chachi, one could go out. So what's his machlokas, whether you're chai v'chatas, or pater v'alasar, or entirely mutter? So the Gemara says, "B'mai kamithugli, Rabbi Meir savar masoy who it's considered as something extra. It's not something. It's not called wearing, and therefore it's chay v'chatas. Rabban savar tachshin. It's not a burden. It's a tachshin. It's a decoration. It's a jewelry, and she's allowed to. But since Dilma shalfa machve, since she might take it off and show her friend, v'yasul lasui might carry it in dal amos. There it goes, or not to wear this on Shabbos." Rabbi Eliezer Savar, no. Man darka lemirma, who's the one to wear such a pouch of spice? Isha sherei chara, a woman who's got bad body odor. And Isha sherei chara lo shafa machia, she's not going to take it off and show someone, because v'lo asu lasu yar ba'amos, and to carry it for amos, that won't happen, but she's rabbi. Why not? Because she's embarrassed, as Rashi explains here. She's embarrassed to show someone that she has this bad body odor, and that's why she has to wear this perfume of some sort, and therefore there is no chashash of her carrying it at all. So this is a three-way machlokas here in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, but doesn't the Braisa teach us, Rabbi Eliezer poter, b'kabelos, u'betzlochus, shel peyotan? Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say it's a motor, he says, you're poter. One shouldn't do this l'chachidu, but poter sounds like a poter of a lasser. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, it's not a stira. Ha kikai adir meir, ha kikai adir abanan. It depends who Rabbi Eliezer is up against, meaning when he's talking to chachamim say pater, he says, no, it's mutter. When he's talking about Rabbi Meir, who says, you're chayv chatas, he says, no, yeah, chayv chatas, you're pater from a chatas, and you take it one step further, not only you're pater, but you're even mutter. So the brayse that says Rabbi Eliezer thinks you're pater, he's just addressing with respect to the carbon, that you're pater from a carbon, but personally, he says, a step further, that even mutter l'chachila, to wear such a spice pouch on Shabbos. So the Gemara says now, at the end of the Amud here, Kikai Adir Meir, Damar, just explain what I just said, when he's referring to, when he's addressing Rabbi Meir, Kikai Adir Meir, Damar Chayiv Chatas, so Amar Le Pater, Kikai Adir Rabbanan, he's referring to Rabbanan, he's up against Rabbanan, Damri Pater Valasar, so he says back, Amar Ihu Mutter Lechachilah. So now we have a very, very long daf on Amud Beis in front of us. So the Gemara says, let's move quickly. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, my Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir Shita? So the Tanya, Loteita Isha b'mapteach shubiyada, a woman should not carry a key on Shabbos, v'miyotsa chayavas achatas, she's chayav achatas, divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yolazer poter b'kovelas b'tzlochas shel peyotan, he thinks you're poter. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir's talking about a key, and Rabbi Yolazer's talking about a kovelas b'tzlochas shel peyotan, they're not talking about the same thing. Kovelas ma'andach v'shmeir, whoever mentioned kovelas, that Rabbi Yolazer is addressing a kovelas. So chasur mechzer, there's something missing here. V'hachi katani, the Braiser should really say v'chein v'chavelas v'chein mitzlochish shel payatam lo seitzei. So Rabbi Meir says you can't walk out with mefteach, nor can you walk out with the kavelas mitzlochish shel payatam v'miyotza chayevas achata. So we just added a few other examples to the shita of Rabbi Meir. That's all divrei Rabbi Meir. To which Rabbi Elazar poter v'kavelas u'mitzlochish shel payatam. He says one's poter from achatas in those cases, but we know not only are you poter, but he says even mutter l'chadchila to walk out with those kavelas and mitzlochish shel payatam. So, when is this all true? Kishiyesh behem bosem. When there's some type of spices in this little jar, that's when it's the discussion about ein bam bosem. If there is no bosem, there's no spices or no oil inside, then chayeves. And even Rabbi Eliezer would agree, one would be chayev. Why would one be chayev? You just look at Rashi. Rashi says, aval ein bam bosem, three lines from the top, Rashi says, chumrasa l'chuda lav tachshidhu v'chayeves. If you're just holding the jug and nothing's inside, that's not called a tachshid. It's only a tachshid if it's full of spices. But if it's empty of spices, that's not a tachshit, and even Rabbi Eliezer would agree one would be chayv achatas. So the Gemara then says, "Amar Rabbi Adar bar Ava." Zosemaris, this comes to teach us. We learn from Rabbi Eliezer, "Hamotzi ochlin pachos mikashir bekli." A person takes out a food that's less than a shear. The din would be chayv. One's chayv because you're now chayv on carrying the kli. The kli is no purpose. If you're having some significant amount of food, so the food is the ikker and the kli is a secondary. It's tuffel to the food, but if it's less than a shear, so the kli isn't tuffel to anything. The kli now is more chashiv, and you're chayv on the kli. Deha ein ba bosim kipachas mikashir. b'chlidami. Now, because when there's no spices in the jug, so now that's as if you're having less than a shear food, an insignificant amount of food, whether it's less than a kedayis or whatever the shear is, or just none at all, and b'katani chayeves. So just like when there's an empty jug, he says you're chayev in the jug. So if there's even though it has food, but the food is insignificant, it's less than a amount of food, a significant food, less than a shear, even then, Rabbi Elazar would agree, you're chayev achatas. So the Gemara says, to look at Rashi for a second, Rashi to explain here, that look at Zosomeris. Rashi writes, three lines down. Zosomeris. Had the katani ein babosim chayeves, amot kasar Rabbi Eliezer, hamotzi ochlin b'shabbos, b'kli pachos mikashir. The lo mechayev al tzas ochlin, you can't be chayev in ochlin, pachos mikrogeris. We're going to learn in a couple of weeks from now, that in order to be chayev on carrying food, the food must be a shiva grogeris or more. So if the food is less than that, the food becomes insignificant. So then you're chayv on the shear of the kli. So k'dakaman chayv mia al kli. So even though you're potter in the food, because the food is potter pachlos mikashir, you're chayv on the kli. V'lomrin, says Rashi, we don't say the kli is tafelen, that the kli becomes secondary to the food. V'lom chayv aleh, you're not chayv on the food nor on the kli, because you're not chayv on the food, because the food pachlos mikashir. And you shouldn't be chayv on the kli, because the kli is tafel. We don't say that. One would be chayv in that case. Look at the back inside the Gemara now. The Gemara says, "Rav Ashi, Amar no, ba'alma emalach pater v'shani hacha delesei lemamasha klal." Different. When you have nothing, it's completely empty. So that's when Rabbi Elazar says you're chayv in the kli. There's nothing there at all. It's empty. But if you have a kli, but there's food in it, that food pachas mekashir. Well, there's still food there. So if there's still food there, in that instance, the kli would be tafel to it, and then a person would actually be pati. He's pati from the food because the food is pachas mekashir. He's pati in the kli because the kli is tafel to the food. The only time Rabbi Elazar thinks you're chayv in the kli is only when the kli is entirely empty of zero food. That's when one would be chayv. So Gemara now says back inside that reishis shemanim yimshachu. So there's a pasuk in Amos that Gemara is about to darshan. It's that Amos is talking about people who simply ignore nevuah, and he's giving them a tochacha for doing so. So Reishis Shemanim, Rashi says, is Mufchar Shebishmanim. The best choice of oils is as follows. Reishis Shemanim Mishachu, a person should rub oil of the best type on themselves. So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zeh Payaton is some balsam oil is the best type of oil. Master of Yosef says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was gozer after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He was gozer that people should not use this oil. It's too special. We want to pull back on some of the delicacies of this world. So because of the great pain of the Churban, he's gozer not to have this type of payaton. But lo hodu lo chacham didn't agree. They did not think they should make such an institution. So Gemara said, wait a second. So if they think the whole idea of the oil is to give pleasure, why didn't they agree? That sounds like a very sensible gzera, that we shouldn't enjoy too many things in this world, so they should take up payatam. So the Gemara says, the Amar Le'Abaye, Abaye says, according to your reasoning, the pasuk in Amos goes on to say, those who drink out of these certain bowls of wine. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yasi, they say, have a machlok, which is some type of glass where you explain here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Shemizrakinai de Umnos. Is that what I wanted? No. Rashi doesn't explain here. But sometimes here we go. Rashi the previous one, the Tame Chadik Siva, Bahayin Yana Hashosim Bimizurke Yain, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi Pirshu, Zek Kanish Kanyon Klizakuch is a glass. Aruch, very long. Veloshne Pios Vyain Nizrak Medelazeh. And there are two mouths to it. You could drink from both ends. So you share, one person has one end of the bottle, one has the other end of the bottle. It's again a big glass with two straws almost coming out of it. So one thing it says it's Kinish Kanin. And Chadamar, Shemizrak, and Kosasem, they throw wine at each other. And so Hachanami, the Aser, here too it should be Aser to have such a wine, these things, because this is also, this would also be some type of Onik. V'ha Rabba Barbar Rav Huna, Ikla the Bei Reish Kalusa. They once visited the house of the Reish Kalusa, V'shasa B'kinish Kanyon, they were drinking from this type of glass. This is like Onik, that you don't need this fancy glass. They didn't say a thing to them. So just because something is an oneg doesn't mean we're going to gozer in all types of onegs based on the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says that Ella called me to the Isbe Tanug Visbe Simcha Gazubi Rabbanim. Has to have two factors to be awesome. One has to be enjoyment, and one has to also lead to a high level of simcha as well. But if it has enjoyment, but it wasn't subject to simcha, that was not usher. So when it comes to the payaton, this type of oil, it's onig, it's enjoyment, but there's no simcha involved there, just onig. So onig without simcha wasn't the gzera. Onig with simcha was part of the gzera. So Gemara now darshins further this pasuk in Amos, or the earlier pasuk in Amos, it says Hashochum al mitos shein usuchim al arsosam. Those who lie in the beds made of a shein is like teeth or white ivory, and they're sprawled out on their couch. So Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Chayu Mashtinen Maim Bifnei Matos Mitosem Arumim, that they would urinate in front of their beds when they were naked. That's what this pasuk refers to. Hashochum al mitos. So Magadi by Rabbi Abbo, Rabbi Abbo says, Ihachi, Hainu Dechsiv, is that what it means? Lachain Ata Yiglu Barosh Golam. So now because of doing this, you're going to be sent into exile, you're going to be the ones leading the exile? Is that really true? It's not a nice thing, of course, to urinate in such a way in front of the bed, but is that really a cause of being the Rosh Golam, the head of the exiles? Mishum de Mashtin Amayim Bifnei Mitosem Arumim? Yiglu Barosh Golam, you're going to be the head leading out to the exile, to the Golas? So Ela Amar Rabbi Abbo, Rabbi Abbo says, the pasuk is referring to something different. They would have couples eating and drinking together. They'd have their beds attached to each other. They'd swap wives with each other. And their couches would be mixed with different zera of different men. So that's a good cause, a good reason to be Rosh Hagol. So Gemara then says, Amri Rabbi Abohu, Amri Le others say, B'masisetani, that Shlosha Dvarim Mevin Es Adam Lidi Aniyos, so there are three matters that bring a person to poverty. Ve'ilhin, Hamashin Mayin B'fnei Mitaso, Arum, a person who urinates in front of his bed naked, and Mezalzam and Tila Tadayim, one who really makes fun of washing hands, and V'she'ishto Mikalaso B'fanam, a person whose wife curses in his presence. So these are three things. If these happen, that is something that leads to Aniyos. The Gemara then says, "Hamashimaim b'fnei mitaso arum, a person who urinates in front of his bed." Amar Rava, Rava says, "Lo amrin elo timahader ape lepuria." It's only true when he faces the bed in doing so. That's a disgraceful thing. Doesn't take property seriously and has very little regard for property. So that person will lose all his property. About Libri, less than Buffy, urinates outwards. He's not facing the bed, so he has some respect for property. So then he wouldn't be subject to this punishment of Aniyas. And even if he faces his bed, it's only true, he's urinating on the floor. But if he's urinating into a kli of some sort of bucket or whatever he's urinating into, that's not subject to this curse. One who doesn't take washing hands seriously, Amar Rava, Rava says, "Lo Amar." It's only said, "Elo de lo Masha yidei klal." If he didn't wash his hands at all, Ava Masha velo Masha lesson. But if he washes his hand, but not so well. Most people don't know how to wash hands properly. They wash it twice in each hand. But if you kind of hold your hands like usually they're like I don't know how to describe it, but facing vertically, so the hands drip on the top and the side of the hand, but rarely does it get the bottom of your hand. Person has to make sure when he washes the hand to turn and twist the hand that gets on the side, the back, and many people don't know that. So a person who washes the hand but doesn't wash it properly, he's not subject to this. He does the best he can, but he's not so makbid or doesn't know the halacha properly. That person isn't subject to this curse of Aniyas. The Gemara then says, this is all not true. Dam Rav Chisa, Rav Chisa says, Ani Mashi Melo Chafni Maya, I wash my hands with a full hand of water, V'yavli Melo Chafni Tuvusa, and I was given an incredible amount of Ashiris. So it sounds like if you didn't wash your hand properly, even though you washed it a little bit, you wouldn't get Ashiris, rather you would get Aniyas. So he felt a person only gets Ashiris if he washes his hand entirely properly, which is, again, as I just explained, hard to explain through the phone here, but still, nonetheless, one has to do it properly. So the Gemara then says, V'she'ishto mikalasa b'fanav, a person whose wife curses in his presence. Amar Rava, Rava says, al iske tachshiteh, only with respect to cursing regarding her jewelry, that she's not getting enough jewelry, she wants more and more. V'hani mili hud isla, it's only true if he has the wherewithal to buy more jewelry and he just refuses to. V'lo avni, he doesn't do so. But if he doesn't have the wherewithal and he's holding back, he's being cheap because he doesn't have the money, he's not going to be punished for doing so. Only if he does have the money and he doesn't provide it to her, that person will lead to Aniyas. We were given money in order to provide our wives, to provide tzedakah, to do things of, Aniyim, helping people who need, and learning and teaching, all that kind of stuff. A person who amasses an incredible amount of money doesn't use it, so then that person is going to lead to Aniyas. So the Gemara then says, Darash Rava Bred Rava Eli, my dixit was a meaning of the pasuk when it says, there's a further pasuk, this is actually in Yeshayahu, but Yomar Hashem Yan Kigavu Bonos Tzion. So the women of Tzion, the women of Eretz Yisrael, women of Yishalayim, are very balgaiva, they're gavu, they're very proud. So shayu mahalech mahalchos bekoma zukufa, they'd walk with their heads stuck up with great posture and great confidence. That's not a proper way for a woman to walk. V'tilachna, not a man either for that matter. V'tilachna, netuyas garon, they'd have their necks stick out. Shayu mahalchos akiv batar gudal, they'd have, walk, one at a time slowly, one foot in front of the other foot, like they're walking down like an aisle very slowly, and neck out, tall, looking for attention. And they'd have gazing eyes looking around, peering at people. They'd have makeup all over their eyes and, kind of looking for men. And they'd kind of float as they walk, a nice smooth walk. They'd walk next to a short woman to make them look even taller, to make them stick out. And the legs are full of venom. What does that mean? Amr of Yitzhak with Debe Beriabiyami, Melamed Shematilas Amur, Vafarsimon, Biminalem, they play some type of spices on their shoes as perfume to attract the men. Umhalchos Beshuke Yushalayim, they'd walk amongst the alleyways and marketplaces of Yushalayim. Vechavin Shemagias Eta Bachu Yisrael, they'd see some young Jews, Baatis Bakarka, they'd stamp their shoes on the ground, which would then generate the smell. Matizas Aleim, the spray would go out, the perfume would go out. Umachnisis Bani Yitzhara, Geras Bekos, it would go into the men's nose. Is like a venom of a very angry snake. So that's how they'd walk. So my pronasayim, what were the punishments for such women walking in such a way? Kedarish Rabba Bar Ula Baya Tachas Bosem Mach Ye. In place of Bosem, in place of the where they had the fragrance, the smell, they would have decay. Makum Shayu Mispasos Bonasa Nemakin Makum, the place where they perfumed themselves, it would turn into a decay, the skin would decay, the body would decay. The tachas chagora nikba, and where the belt that would be wear would be turned into bruises. Nikba is bruised. Makum shayu chaguros betzilzul, where they wear these belts, attracting the men. Nasa nikavim would turn into bruises. The tachas masa miksha karcha, below the area that they had jewelry, would turn into karcha, which is baldness. It would be empty of any jewelry. And makum shayu miskashes bow, nasa krachum krachum would be empty and bald. And the tachas pesigil machagores sack, where they'd wear some type of sash or some other clothing, they would have a sackcloth instead. Psachim hamavin lidei giloi yum machagores sack, openings that led to a place of simcha that would be now covered in sackcloth now. And this referring to again the private areas of the woman. The kitachas yofi, underneath its beauty, amarava hainu dami inche chilufei shufra kiba, in exchange for beauty shufra kiba is soreness. So this is a punishment for such women who walk in such a provocative way. So then the Gemara says, "V'sipach Hashem kadkod benos tzion." There's a pasuk also in Yeshayahu that v'sipach Hakadosh Baruch Hu brings on a kadkod, affliction to the head of the heads of benos tzion, the heads of these women. So Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Sheparcha ben Teras, they'd be covered in Teras. Ksivhach, it says v'sipach in this pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ksivhach it's written v'laseis v'sapachas. So that connection of sapachas, even though one's a sin and one's a samach, we still have the license to make such drushes. So they're going to be afflicted with tzaras. Hashem pasen yara, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will cause their openings to pour. What does that mean? Rav Shmuel Chadamar shenishpichu kikiton v'chadamar shenasa pischein kiyar. So they're going to have, Rashi says, it's going to flow, that it's going to shenishbu kikiton, means it's going to have constant dam come from that area. And chadam alam, it says shenasu pischem kiyar, it's going to be full of hair like a forest. So Amar Rav Huda, Amar Rav, Anshe Yushalayim, Anshe Shachat Hayu, the men of Yushalayim were men of Shachat. So what does that mean? So they would be very arrogant, and they'd speak, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Anshe Shachat Medabrin B'lashon Gaiva, V'lag Shafa, they make fun of people, they'd be Bali Gaiva. So the Gemara says, Adam Amar Lechaveh, a person would say to his friend, B'mas Ata Yom, what did you eat today? B'pas Ma'amila, B'pas Shein Amila, was it a bread that was kneaded well or not kneaded well? B'yayin Gurdali, a special type of wine, it was white wine, B'yayin Chardali, or some other wine, which was dark wine. So he explained, B'mesav, Rachel B'mesav Katsa, did you sit in a very wide and comfortable couch, or was it a very narrow and short couch? And Bechavratova, Bechavara, did you have a good friend or a bad friend? So, Amar Rav Chista, the Kulan Liznus, all this was just questions in order to lead to Znus, to kind of engage the individual to get to a place of Znus. So Rashi explains here, was an Isha Tova or Mara? Were you having a meal with a pretty lady or an ugly lady? All these things were all about Znus. So the Gemara then concludes before the Mishnah, Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ate Yushalayim Eshel Kinamon Hayo, there were cinnamon trees, that they were the logs, that was what was used in Yushalayim. Ubishash Hayu Masikim Hen, when they burn these cinnamon trees, Reicha Nodev Bechal Eretz Yisrael, you'd smell the beautiful scent of cinnamon. Umishachar Yushalayim Nignazu, but when the Yushalayim was destroyed, they hid all these cinnamon trees, V'lonishar Ela Kisora, there's only left to the size of a barley grain. Umishachach Begazi De Tzimtzamai Ma'akasa, which is found in apparently some storage house of this queen whose name was Tzimtzamai. So we see after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, many of the delicacies and enjoyments of the world were hidden to be returned back, and we Hashem, with returning of the Bais Shlishi. Everybody have a wonderful day.